Brilliance Audio presents The Third Victim by Lisa Gardner, performed by Terry Schnaubelt. Bakersville's K-8 looked like a scene out of Bedlam as Rainey came to a screeching halt half a block away from the sprawling one-story building. She saw parents running frantically across the parking lot while children wandered the fenced-in schoolyard crying hysterically. Fire alarms were ringing, Walt's 1965 ambulance siren as well, damn him. More cars came careening dangerously around the residential streets, probably parents called from work. "Damn," Rainey muttered. "Damn, damn, damn." She could see teachers gathering up their charges into small groups. A man in a suit, maybe Principal Vanderzanden, Rainey had met him only once, took up a post by the flagpole and seemed to be trying to organize the chaos. He wasn't having much luck. Too many parents were running from group to group trying to find their children. Too many children were circling aimlessly in search of parents. A young boy with blood-soaked jeans staggered away from the whirling madness and collapsed on the sidewalk. No one seemed to notice. Rainey jumped out of her car and ran. Cunningham was right behind her. As they cut through the sea of people, pushing toward the school's glass front doors, Rainey spotted Shep's patrol car, strategically parked to block off the west entrance of the parking lot. The sheriff himself, however, was not in sight. The front doors had been thrust wide open. Rainey could just make out Bakersville's two volunteer EMTs, Walt and Emery, hunched down at the end of the wide hallway, where they were already ministering to a victim. "Damn it," she swore again. The two men had no business being in the building before it had been secured. A parent came running up, heading straight for the open doors. Rainey grabbed his arm just as he tried to push by, and she shoved him back forcefully. "My kid," he started. "Into the parking lot," she yelled. "No one enters the building. Hey, you, there in the suit. Come here." Rainey snagged the younger man in mid-run. He had a look of authority about him, his olive suit nicely tailored and his black shoes freshly polished. He was frowning at Rainey, clearly anxious and in a hurry. "Are you from the school? What's your name?" Rainey demanded.
Richard Mann. I'm the school counselor, and I need to get to the students. We've had some injuries. Do you know what happened in there?" "There were shots, then the fire alarm sounded, then everyone was running. One minute I was in my office doing some paperwork, the next minute it was chaos."
"Did you see who was shooting?"
"No, but someone said they saw a man run out the west side doors. I don't know."
"What about the students? Is everyone out?"
"We followed basic evacuation procedure," Richard Mann replied automatically.
Then his face fell. He lowered his voice so only Rainey could hear.
"Two teachers said they saw some students down in the halls. They had to attend to their own classes, though, so they didn't feel they could stop, and they didn't want their kids to notice. I've also seen some wounded children out here. I tried to grab the EMTs, but they were already heading into the building."
"Do you have any medical training?"
"I learned CPR from the Y."
"Good enough. Here's what you're going to do. Form a first aid station on the school lawn. Gather up all the injured kids. I just saw a boy collapse by the sidewalk, so you need to send someone over there. Then ask among the parents. There's got to be other people here who have some sort of training. CPR, animal husbandry, camping first aid, I don't care. Have them assist the kids and hold the fort the best they can. Walt looks to have his hands full inside, and we probably have another good 10 or 15 minutes before Cabot County's ambulance arrives."
"I'll do my best. It's just so hard to be heard above the noise."
Rainey pointed a finger at Shep's patrol car. "See that? In the back seat is a bullhorn. Knock yourself out. Now, once you get a first aid area set up, I have another job for you. Are you listening?" The young counselor nodded intently. His face was pale, and his upper lip was beaded with sweat, but he seemed to be paying attention. "See all the people clogging the parking lot?" she said. "We need them all moved across the street. Tell the teachers to line up their classes and conduct a head count. When they're done, they can match up students with parents. But everyone, except the wounded, clears this parking lot for safety reasons, okay? And nobody goes home until they've been dismissed by the police. Got it?"
"I'll try,"